removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Christ is risen. You know, the celebration of the resurrection is the high point of the Christian church. Many of us have been to 50 or 60, some maybe 80 or 90 Easter services. But if you're like me, I still find it fresh and new every year. As I thought about how important this day was to our faith, I wondered how it's been impacting America in recent years. Unfortunately, polls show that the number of people in the U.S. who believe in Jesus and the resurrection has declined in the last decade. However, if you look at statistics around the world, you find that there's an amazing desire to know more about Christ. But our work is really cut out for us. A startling statistic I found is that now in Russia, more people, it was said, when in one poll, believe in Christ than in the U.S. Worldwide, the hunger is there to find out who Jesus is. Many of you perhaps saw the movie The Passion of the Christ. It was dramatic. Jim Caviezel, who played Christ, said that he had a little taste of the suffering of the Lord. His chest cavity was damaged as he hung on the cross. He was also struck by lightning, and after the movie, he needed surgery. This movie really impacted people. Since its release in 2004, The Passion of the Christ has outsold any other movie in history. Its sales are approaching 650 million. Friends, Jesus and the resurrection is still capturing people's hearts. And Jesus captured the hearts of the first disciples. When they found him, Jesus invited them to follow. You know, I think the disciples really had no idea of what they were getting into. I'm guessing that they thought they were going to be spending time seated in the temple while Jesus taught them. Or maybe they figured they'd help set him up as the new king of Israel. But Jesus had other plans. He went everywhere to preach the gospel, traveling the dusty roads of Palestine, going up into the mountains and preaching by the Sea of Galilee. They were surely not expecting that he was going to die or that their lives would be at risk too. But you see, Jesus knew what they didn't know, that he came to bring restoration and healing to our world. In this Lenten season, the last 6 weeks, we looked at how Christ healed people, the paralyzed man at the pool, the demon-possessed man, the woman who was bleeding for years, and we saw how he raised Lazarus. We talked about how Christ can still today bring healing of memories, of relationships, and healing of our bodies. In one service, we invited people to come forward for prayer for anointing oil. many of you shared how God touched you. Today, we want to talk about how God desires to bring healing to us through this, through the resurrection. Friends, on this Easter day, I want my faith to soar above the trials of this earth, to know that because of his resurrection, not only do I have eternal life, but I also can have a transformed life. But you know, like you, sometimes I struggle with trusting Jesus with life challenges. But Christ is still working on me. And Christ is still working in you. Well, the disciples were really enjoying seeing Jesus' miracle work of healing. But they really were not listening to what Jesus said when he started talking about the resurrection. He kept saying it over and over that he would have to die and then rise. But they just kept dropping the ball. It reminds me of a time when I was at Tiger Stadium with my son David, and I was out in right field, and I was right at the edge like this, and I was waiting to catch a ball, and a ball came right into my glove, and I dropped it. The right fielder said, "Doesn't get any better than that." He threw a ball up to me. But the disciples kept dropping the ball. It was right in their glove. And so when they woke up in the garden to see soldiers with torches and swords, they were like deer staring into the headlights. They just didn't see it coming. And as the soldiers arrested Jesus and took him to be tried, to be sentenced to death and then nailed to the cross, it seemed that everything that they had worked for had come to an end. Something screamed inside of them, "This cannot be. The healer cannot be killed. The author of life cannot be put to death." It seemed like a bad dream. They had seen Jesus heal many thousands, but now God needed to heal them. Friends, like the disciples, sometimes our dreams and hopes can be shattered in our lives. We live in a world where things can go seriously wrong. We read in the news that there was an attack on modern-day Christian disciples on Palm Sunday last week. And 2 weeks prior to that, our attention was drawn to the struggles in Syria as civilians and children were gassed. In Iraq and Syria, so many have died, so many have been pulled from a rubble tomb. They've even destroyed Jonah's tomb, you see here in the picture. People there need a resurrection healing. But you know, it's not only in war-torn countries where dreams are broken. But every single one of us are going to have some kind of difficulty. At some point in our lives, we are going to feel a deep emptiness like the disciples, if not more than once. I remember growing up as a boy and life was very joyful and activity, and we had ponies and all these kinds of things. We had a garden and a creek to play in, and nothing terrible had happened in my life until my grandfather at age 14 died. He lived next door. And Grandpa and I were as close as I was, almost as close as with my father. And I remember standing there at the graveside as they lowered his casket down in the grave. I felt like I was going to drop in the grave myself. My heart was so broken. And then the preacher said, "But there's going to be a resurrection." And I found comfort and hope. Do you remember a time when you lost hope? Have you had a dream that was buried in a tomb? Is there some place in life where you've given up? Maybe someone here has lost their job. I read this week that they expect in the coming year 8,000 department stores to close across America. Whew. What is going to happen to all those folks? We'll be out of work. What's going to happen to all those stores? We're going to need to minister hope and healing to those people. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that no matter what, God can bring something good from something bad. God can heal our lives. And so in the midst of despair, the resurrection gives hope. It's not in just the happy times that we're given hope. It's in the midst of despair. Now, I got to tell you, it took a while for that hope to become real for the disciples. After Jesus' death, the disciples were a mess. They were holed up in the upper room. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. The women were so beside themselves with grief. And to ease the pain, they decided they'd go to the tomb and take spices. Now, I got to tell you, going to the tomb was more just to comfort them in grief. They were not really expecting a resurrection. And Jesus really didn't need spices. He had already been embalmed with 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes. They came simply to honor him and show their love, much like we would go to the cemetery and put flowers at the grave marker. As they walked to the grave, they remembered how the huge stone covered the opening. See, they watched him die, and then they saw them put the stone over. So no one can get in, and Jesus surely was not going to get out. And you know, the stone over the grave is a picture of what we often face in life. There are huge stones keeping us from our dreams. We face them in our families. We face them at work. We face them in the church. We want harmony in the family, but sometimes it's missing. We want work to be pleasant, but sometimes it's frustrating. We want the church to grow and to be alive, but sometimes there are obstacles. But what we need to see from the resurrection is that it's not a people issue. It's a faith issue. Because Jesus said with faith we could move mountains. And so we have to believe that Jesus is able to move these stones. What stones does God need to move in your life? I have some. Are you trying to move the stone yourself? We need to realize from the resurrection story that only God can remove some stones. Mary Magdalene and the women learned this. While they were on the way, they were trying to figure out, like Pastor Keywer said this morning, it might have been an afterthought. But as they were going and they were so caught up in grief, they realized somebody needed to move the stone. But when they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. Now, they don't know this is miracle power going on here. It looked like somebody's tampering with the grave. Somebody's causing trouble. And you know what? That's how it is in our lives too. Sometimes God is at work and all we can see is trouble. But Jesus had already risen. Friends, the hope of the resurrection is that some of your obstacles that you're feeling right now at this very minute, God has already rolled the stone away and you don't even know it. Can somebody say amen? Some things that are just tearing you up have already been answered. Like the women, we have to discover what God has already done. You know, I've had times when I was so discouraged and with difficult circumstances, and I just was beside myself. And a few days later, I found that God had already taken care of it. That's what Easter's about. Friends, we are resurrection people. We cannot forget it. The early church celebrated the resurrection. Every Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. 1 Corinthians 15 says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. Here is the secret that God has given us in the physical world to understand the resurrection. The mystery is in it. I've been growing seeds at my house. I've started with morning glories and red beets, and I'm going to do a number of other things. I've got some strawberries in here, but they're not doing too well yet. But you know, I learned something about seeds that I didn't know. I've had gardens for years and been around farms. Have you ever heard of the word stratify? Anybody heard of that word stratify for seeds? Okay, so I guess I'm not alone. But some berry seeds and others, you're supposed to put them in the refrigerator for weeks or months and in the dark. And they won't grow unless you do that. And it's almost like you got to make sure the seed is dead. And then when you bring it out and put it in the soil, it can grow. Jesus had to die so he could rise. So you and I could rise too. And so that the power of new life, like a seed, could grow and live in you and me. If we're going to see his power work in our lives, we have to die to ourselves too. We need to say, God, I can't make these seeds grow. We need to say to God, God, I can't make this thing happen in my life. I need you and your power. When we do that, when we die to ourselves, his power is unleashed. But we're not wired this way. Jesus said over and over to the disciples, oh, you of little faith. The good news is that God is patient with us in our small faith. We see this in the resurrection story. God gave the disciples one sign after another to build up their faith. The first sign given was that the stone was rolled away. Then when the women and Peter and John look into the grave, they see the body is gone, and then they see the grave clothes rolled up in a heap, and an angel talks to them. And finally, Jesus appears to them step by step. He gives them signs, and he keeps growing their faith. Let's go back to the seed again. Jesus said, all we need is the faith of a mustard seed and he can grow it. I have a little jar that my daughter Natalie gave me with mustard seeds in it. She said, Dad, you planted faith in me as a mustard seed and it's growing. I have it by my study lamp. When I'm looking at it, I'm reminded that God wants to grow my faith. When our faith grows in Jesus and the power of the resurrection, then God can heal our hearts and our minds. So do not despair if your faith is small. God can grow it. Well, the story of Mary's faith encourages us. After all that's happened, she still didn't get it. And again, it takes us a long time too. If you're like me, sometimes God has shown me things years ago where I learned to trust and then I gotta learn it again. Well, Mary needs healing and she's about to find it. She turns and she sees a person who she thinks is the gardener. She doesn't recognize him. So she said, sir, where have you placed him? Then Jesus says to her, Mary. When Mary hears his voice, she shudders. I know that voice. She looks at his hands. I know those hands. She looks in his eyes. I know those eyes. And she cries out, Rabboni. And she grabs him and clings to him and holds him in his arms. He is alive. And God has healed her broken heart. Oh, that we would know his voice too in the difficult times. Like Mary, Jesus Christ wants to come to us. He wants to assure us that he has died and risen, that we might have the hope of the resurrection through faith in him. And let me say this to you. The reason the disciples and the women could come into faith is because everybody was having a different experience and everybody was telling the others, I saw an angel here, I saw him there, I saw this sign. And when it all came together, all the stories, it just grew everybody's faith. And this lets me know, friends, as a church, we need one another. I love Easter Sunday because we are all out. But you know what? We need to be all out every Sunday because we need one another so that we can grow in our faith. Well, after the disciples were restored and made whole, they then went into the world with a message. Friends, I got to tell you, there are so many people in our world that have lost hope. There are people that are so discouraged and depressed, and they don't know where to turn. And Jesus loves them, and he wants you and I to reach out to them. Now, I know this story might sound like a little bit of a downer, but this story I'm going to tell you tells how great God's power. But Kevin Hines had been in halfway houses, psych wards, and hospital rooms with depression. On September 25th, 2000, Kevin lost all hope. And at age 19, he jumped off of the Golden Gate Bridge. As soon as he did it, he said, I reached for the poles and they weren't there. But in the midst of his free fall, he said these words, "What have I done? I don't want to die. God, please save me." He was rescued, fully recovered from injuries to his legs and spine. Now he's going around the country, talking to colleges and many others about his experience. You know what he's finding? That a lot of people have lost hope. And a lot of people are discouraged. And he's building them up. I know that this story is pretty dramatic and it's not everybody's struggle. But it shows resurrection hope is there for you and me. God can bring it to you and to me this day. Will you take a step, whatever you're facing, and say, "Lord, I believe in you. I give my life to you." The first resurrection occurs when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart and we say, "Lord, forgive me for my sins. Be my Savior. Be my God." Christ comes into us through the Holy Spirit. He gives us new and eternal life. And we're healed. After we've done that, we need to keep walking in his resurrection healing throughout our lives. Friends, God knows what you're experiencing. God wants to minister to you, and God wants to give you hope and peace right this very moment. Christ is risen.